Hello and welcome into episode 46 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and this episode, The Blether Is All Ready. This episode is a bit of a review of the year, so the sections are all mixed into one, but we do have the drams featuring 12-year-old Pulteney single malt and the old Pulteney liqueur. Well, it is from Wick, and I've got an extra one. And I've got the winner of the handmade felted brooch, and amongst it all, all the links are in the show notes that come with where you download this from, so relax and get your links later on. I'm sponsoring this from my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, for Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering services. Get your cup of tea and your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. Away and sit in for a blether.
No for the blether.
Alrighty. Happy New Year to you all. May 2012 be all you want it to be and more, but in a really good way. Some of you aren't ready for a new year and have said, what? 2011 is over already? I've just gotten used to writing it on the chequebook. But time marches on, dearest listeners, and we are now knocking on the door of 2012, the year of the Olympics in London and Creative Scotland and many more things besides. My Sandy has the most wonderful way of saying,
already?
Which makes me laugh. I got him to record it for you so you could share. It's when things creep up on you and you think, is it that time for it already? I'm not sure I'm ready for it. New Year seems to have that effect on lots of people. You look forward to it, what seems like forever. You look away for an instance and then it's there. Bang! There. Already? What happened to August, you say? Where did October go? Last time I remembered it was November. I had weeks to go. Well, time marches on, even if it's a man-made institution invented to constrain the masses, and it's 2012 already. The turn of the year is always a good point to review the year past and look forward to the new year to come. How did yours go? If you signed up to do 11 projects in 2011, did you manage it? Have you signed up for 12 and 12? Do you enjoy it? Did you learn something new about crafting or yourself? Was it too much? Did you run out of steam about April and think, stupid idea? Well, for both of those, well done. You started something. Some of you, well done for finishing. And others, well done for starting and learning what you did do. Who learnt new techniques and crafts? Have you tried them once, or are you now obsessed? Do you ever find yourself in the middle of a project? You get engrossed and you think, I know I've got ages to go. And you just plug on with it. And then you look up and you think, oh, I'm at the next stage. Already? Excellent. I listened to a couple of podcasts. Well, one of many. One's called The Accidental Creative by Todd Henry. And the other is Managing the Grey by C.C. Chapman. Both are very positive people, which I quite like. Todd Henry had an interview with Michael Bungay Stainer, I don't think I'm saying that right, who had written a book called Do More Great Work and has the company Box of Crayons. He said, yes, you do bad work, then you do good work, and then you do great work. The great work is the one that takes you out of your comfort zone, but you are so enthused by it and tired out by it, but it's your legacy. He says it can't be aimed at company directors or presidents or companies or countries, but also housewives and mothers, which is what I thought, me. He said the bad work is the rubbish stuff, the mind-numbing work you hate. For instance, yearly tax return. You absolutely should do it, but it just grates your cheese. I think that's a phrase to describe that kind of thing. And then he goes on to say, the good work. This is the job description. My job description as a housewife and mother first, never mind Energy Hunt just now, is doing the housework, keeping the bairns fed and watered, cleaned and educated. This is good work. But it's not great, outstanding work. It's not something that you could rave about when somebody asks you at a party, what do you do? You say, oh, wait till I tell you what I'm doing just now. Then there's great work. This is the stuff you rave about at the party. This is where you say, oh, the bairn's gone to school. He's getting on really well. I'm really proud of him. He's got a lust for learning, and he has learnt to read. To me, this is great work. This is out the ordinary, and I'm enthused and I'm excited about it work. Granted, I didn't actually teach him to read properly, but I encourage him. I could talk about it in the workplace, but he mentioned specifically the stay-at-home parents, which meant It was more relevant to me than being in a boardroom environment. It's a great interview, and he has his own podcast, which I'm going to listen to soon. He points out that we can stretch ourselves by doing great work and being really positive about life. So I pondered, what was my great work in 2011? And then I listened to Managing the Grey by C.C. Chapman. He talks about reviewing the year, and he asked if we had achieved all we wanted to do in 2011, or have we come close? Well, probably not everything, but then I think I've had a pretty good year. He said, take a couple of hours before the year ends and write a list of goals to achieve, not resolutions, but goals. Put a wee square beside them and tick them off as you go along. He also said, take a wee bit to tidy up at the end of the year. Go through your inbox, your messages. Reply to those that need replying, delete those that you don't, unsubscribe to things you don't read, subscribe to things that might help you in the new year. Which is why you've been getting messages from me a lot recently. I do like to reply to everyone who messages me. I don't always do it straight away, but I go back and I check quite a lot. If you have messaged me or anyone, come to think of it, and we haven't gotten back to you within a reasonable time, do gentle prod. CC talked about criticism. To encourage constructive criticism. I kind of think he was speaking to me, but I'm not sure if I'm ready for it yet. I would maybe do you a deal. So if you felt the need to give me constructive criticism, then entitle the message Constructive Criticism, so I can prepare for it before I open it. Or, if I'm not in a great mood, get Hobby to read it for me and then he can put it into my language. I could try this for a month. That's fair enough, isn't it? If it's okay, then maybe I could carry on. Plus, I've been really pushing myself to do the interviews that the lovely Finarda has set up for me. Some days I'm all like, yes, let's do it, it'll be really good. And other days I'm just running away from my thoughts, never mind the phone. Maybe this could be February's goal. I never actually told you, but I had to phone French people in actual France when Hobby was working there. The hardest part was actually getting the international number correct. After, bonjour, parlez-vous anglais, s'il vous plaît, he said, yes. I was fine. So, a chat with the designer about things I really like. Can it be that hard? Can it? Sometimes we build things up too high, so let's knock them down. A review of 2011 it is, then. I may name drop a few of you, so listen up, listeners. I listened to last year's episode last night. Ooh, lots of lasts and alliterations there. And I laughed. And I really enjoyed it. But then I panicked. How can I better this, I wonder? But then I do every episode. I drag my heels and sometimes I think, maybe I'll take this episode off. And then, and I mean every single week of this year and more, I've had some truly lovely messages from you all. You've my been with me longer listeners, having a chat about what's been happening with them. My new listeners saying hello and saying which bits that they like. Some of you still can't understand me properly. And most of you think I talk too fast, and I actually think I am tonight. Maybe I've had too much coffee. But bless you all, each and every one of you that clicked my podcast, you took the time to listen, some intently, some just to fall to sleep to. Most of you come back time and time again. I send you heartfelt thanks from me, my hobby, because it keeps me out of his hair, my bairns, because it makes them happy, and my mum, because she loves hearing about it, and the crafty friends that I have, who also love to hear about what you've been up to, the mad things you're sending me or pointing to me to. I looked on Ravelry, and I realised I've done 18 projects this year. At the start of the year, I was knitting a little Debbie Bliss for Sarah's bouncing baby boy Gil, who I was playing with today. He's just lovely 9-month-old boy now, and he's got titties. I then cast on my asymmetrical cardigan, which took me, ooh, good 6 months or so to make, but I count this as my great work of 2011. I had not made an adult cardigan in the round before. I had a lot of help along the way with this, so thank you, Caroline. And then I went to make fingerless gloves with Nora Blossom, some with Jimmy Possum yarn, then some with Soya yarn on a wee knitting loom that I gave away as a competition prize. Can't remember who got that now, but I hope you're enjoying with it. Did you actually receive it, come to think of it? I crocheted 2 projects this year, a lacy curly scarf with kid silk haze, which I wear quite a lot, and a lacy cardigan for Daisy, and sewed her snugly four-ply. I realised I wasn't very good at sleeves. Crocheting them, that is. And then I made Sandy some fingerless gloves, which he helped knit. Daisy wanted some. She didn't help knit. She got some from Pallet Yarn. I struggled on with the brioche hat that my hubby never has off his head now. And this was with the hand-spun Jacob. I will go on a little bit about spinning later. Also, as a podcast group, our lovely listeners and I made some hats for serving in Afghanistan just now soldiers. I think of them out serving their country over Christmas. Stay safe, please, and come back to your families in one piece, please. Now, I'd almost forgotten the Scarf of Doom, which was a present for my friend Jill down in the Borders. It did turn out really pretty in the end, and it was crocheted as well. The Doom part was more because of the fuss I had making it. Lessons learned there. Daisy's Shrek hat made in bright green chunky yarn. It's really too big for her, it fits me. But there's not much more funny than watching her run about in the forest with her Shrek ears wiggling. I finished my sampler handbag and I'm delighted because it's never off my arm when I'm out and about. It's been much admired and my head swells every time. I use my own hand-spun duper bulky to make a Lyra hat and then a PD one row scarf by the Yarn Harlot, which I have finally put up a photograph of me looking into the distance for my polar bear. Actually, to be perfectly honest, it was me putting the camera onto the Bairns play park and standing back whilst I had the 10-second timer on. And my face is like, is it going to take? Is it going to take? Look into the distance. Where are the polar bears? Click! Oh, I smiled. I don't know. Anyway, you can have a look at that now. And this year I decided to make shawls. So I, so far, have made two. I was very kindly gifted the Shaylin shawl pattern by Leila Rab by Knitting Pipelines Paula, whom I love listening to, and it's great, the shawl and her podcast. Oh, I had been gifted some yarn earlier in the year, and I had forgotten about the mother bear bears. I don't have the photo op of mine for some reason, but Acanthus kindly organised to take some bears back, so thank you to her. And in July, I started the pie shawl by Elizabeth Zimmerman using my own hand-dyed yarn I had found in a charity shop. Almost finished it. Almost. In spinning news, well, I had gotten comfortable with spinning. I managed to do some really thin for making an ishbill, but I'm going to stick to a worst weight for a while until I can get my thicknesses a bit more even. I'm still enjoying it though, and also I have a drop spindle, which is good for doing a bit when I'm passing. It's quite good. Oh, I'll just do a couple of things. I'm here a bit longer than I thought it was going to be. I'll just do a bit more things. If the bairns were a bit older, I'd probably do that with my spinning wheel, but it during the daytime lives underneath my bed in its lovely case. In quilting news, I have not only made a bag, but a colour sampler. Two projects. The number two projects aren't great, but the actual projects themselves are wonderful, because the bag helped me understand the technicalities of how to make bags, and then I finished my North Royalty sampler bag because of it. I do really still enjoy quilters and textile artists, so the goal next year is to carry on learning and doing, and talking to you about it. I'm exhausted about that now. Are you still awake? Right, so the great work was, out of it all, my brioche hat, the shawls, the fingering weight yarn I spun, and the quilted bag. And my good work was the rest of it all. I would love to hear what your great work and craft was over the year. Now, I've been partaking in a Twitter thing called Knit Chat in the past few Saturday evenings at 4 p.m. GMT, Greenwich Mean Time. This makes it 8 a.m. in the Pacific Northwest, I think, where Cloudy with a Chance of Fibre, Natalie and Rachel live, along with quite a few other of you, including Cheryl of the Bell of the Ball podcast, thank you, because she sent me something, and my lovely swap partner Trine, hello, and G Chant and Liberty Knits, to name but a few. I get this information for my listener map that I started back in October. I love looking at it, so please carry on, put your name wherever you come from. I've given up on everywhere else except America and Australia. New Zealand? Hello? I know you're there. Hello? Yeah, anyway. I also like about it is that your listeners could see if there's anyone near you that you didn't know. Because there's a couple in Australia that are really quite close, and various other places too. And some people were saying, oh, I'd really like a craft group like what you've got. And I said, well, have a look on your listener map and see, because you never know. So if you're on Twitter and you want to blather on about knitting and meet new Twitter pals, then appear 4 p.m. Saturday at Greenwich Mean Time, and you can do a hashtag, then the word knit chat, which is one word, into your search box. But ask Natalie, because she's got proper instructions on her blog. She does plan to carry on this, and it'd be good to see you in there sometimes too. She also does one on a Thursday night, which is 6 p.m. Pacific something time. Her time, but it's stupid o'clock for us, so it doesn't work out for us Brits, which is why she's very kindly set up this. And it was good fun. I've made loads of new Twitter people. And thus to the Hogmanay party. Now, did you know? Us Scots own Hogmanay. The rest of the world accepts that, oh, there's a new year already, and you may have a wee party, but we actually own it. If you look carefully, it says owned by Scotland on the tag. We let you have it just so that we can be smug that ours is better than yours. But I'm a generous sort. I'm inviting you in to this Hogmanay party. Come away in, and don't be shy now. Leave your lump of coal at the front door, please. I have cleaned the house, and my depths are cleared, as tradition says. The bairns are way to bed now, so away in, green triangle girl. Billy Piper, let me take your coat. Nick, come away in, and Auntie Apey, move over for Martine. Hoxton and Miss Ale, and of course Brenda. Now, I think that's us Brit podcasters. Now for the rest of ye. I've got the drams in for you now. We've had a gin still going for a couple of weeks. I secretly asked Hoxton's sheep to set me up one in the polytunnel. I don't even think Hoxton knows. The sheep came up on the train, met him that Thurso. He spent a week in my field in front of me, pretending, but secretly he was in the polytunnel setting it up and showing the quattro what to do. I sent him back down on the gales and he just went whoosh down the country in this northwesterly. He kind of landed at Brighton, but I hear he made it home okay. I digress. So this illicit still has been brewing all sorts of flavour of Christmas pudding, cake flavour, you name it flavour, whatever you want, it's their flavour gin. For the drammers in ye, there's a full range of whiskies available. In this daydream, we can have Old Pulteney, and it's the 21-year-old. Hang around for the dram section to find out what this reference meant. Now, it's time for the other podcasters who will not be able to understand us, as we will be all talking fast and quite excited. Nobody will be able to understand anything I say by now, so just smile and be excited too, wave your knitting around. And of course, everyone is wearing their knitted items. The shawls are divine, the scarves, the hats, the fingerless gloves, the cardigans, the jumpers, even the odd knitted skirt. The cloakroom attendant is checking everyone in carefully and is making sure nobody will go home without their item, nor with anyone else's. So here comes our Paula, knitting pipeline, who's got the bagpipes out and is going to pipe in the listeners. Hello, Daisy Frog. This is Hobbycraft. You are sitting with me tonight. In fact, there's so many of them. I'm moving this here shindig to the May Hall. They're having a now massive party on Hogmanay. Right, so if you all got a dram of your choice, it can be soft, it could be deadly. Just take your pick. Now, who wants a droppy of the black bun cake? All of you! Well, that's sensible. We've a long night ahead of us. It's been made by Coggy TM, whom I sent the recipe on a tea towel back, I think it was September now. She's been busy, and she's made the rest of the recipes from the tea towel, including some tasty potted head. Num num num. Oh, look at you vegetarian and vegan faces. Don't you panic. Sandrada and Laura Gessen have laid the spread on for you. There's not a hoof nor hair made for your fare. So the drams are flowing, the black bun cake has been munched, the chat is all about knitting, spinning, crafting, and none of us can shut up. It's ace! We've not seen each other since a crafting cruise in July. We've got a lot to catch up on. We talk about the Mr. Main series at the start of the year. The Thistle episode seems to be quite a favourite. I'm still laughing at you all debating what you would chuck into Craft Room 101 and what your records would be for the desert island. We have a lovely review of Knit Nation, thank you Ayla. Rhinebeck, thank you Pantafails. I went to Glasgow Craft Fair in the ACCC in March with my mum, who had her big birthday, with mate Ayla. I'm plotting to go down again for it this March. So Tiny Shiny Things and everybody else in South of Scotland listeners, put that in your calendar. I also went to the Gaelic Wool Fest in July where I met Seneca and Argyle Jacobs. Also plan to go back to this too. We had a few businesses in the Crafting Chamber of Commerce with Craig Macbeth, the photographer, at the start of the year, Elizabeth Lost Buttons and Kath Knitter Scarlet Etsy sites, to name but a few. I think I've covered quite a lot of craft issues, not just Keith Nace, but back to Hogmanay. Ooh, hold on, we'll chink our glasses. Just a quick announcement to make. Are you listening? The competition winner for the felted brooch, handmade, hand-dyed and hand-sewn by me, as picked out by the random hat generator of Sandy, is BG Knitty Nurse. Congratulations to you, and I'll be messaging you for your postal address. The music is being provided, of course, by Mark Gunn, and he's given us a bit of a ceilidh. May I introduce you to Giffnet Girl, Shutter Monkey, Ditsy Fitzy, SJFCGS, Sornum, please note her knitted kilt socks, they are stupendous, Tooth Fairy, who are the Scottish Gang and will now lead you in Strip the Willow and a Dashing Mate Sergeant, and maybe a Highland Skittish. Grab your partners, ladies, and if you cannot find a man in a kilt, grab your knitting buddy opposite. I think at some point about 11 we'll calm down for a bit. And remember those that are no longer with us. Raise a glass to them. Also, for those going through illness or just being diagnosed, I was asked by Fitter Knitter to mention the 2012 Calendar of Hope. She says almost 100% of the proceeds go to the armyofwomen.com, which is trying to find out why we get breast cancer. You can read more about her calendar on our website, www.fitterknitter.com. And it seems pertinent just now because one of my lovely listeners has had a diagnosis for breast cancer. Whilst I'm not going to name her because of her wishes, I do want to say that we are with you every step of the way. And whilst we can't move the mountain, change the illness, we can darn well do our best to stand with you, hold your hand when you need it, shut up when you need it, splaff on when you need it. It's important to me to let you and anyone else dealing with illness to know this. I can't move the mountain, but I will hold your hand, as the Mumford and Sons song, Time Shall. We'll now have a bit of Seneca and her walking singing group to entertain us before I think I'll get our Tor and Isla to do a wee bit of Gaelic singing for us. And we'll do a few more dances before the bells at 12. Now we have to have the doors open to let the old year out and the new year in. And we have the radio on for the countdown because you have to have Big Ben chime in 2012. A quick snog with your loved one. Coggy, I said, a quick snog. Put Sarge down. And then it's time for everyone to give everyone, and I mean everyone, a peck on the cheek, a shake of the hand, and wish everyone a happy new year. And then we'll get Paula to play us Auld Lang Syne while we stand in a circle, hold hands until the line. And there's a hand, my trusty fear, and he gies a hand to o' thine. Where we unclasp our hands, we cross our arms in front of us, we clasp the hands of our companions on the other side, and we start moving in the middle of the circle. It gets a bit mental here, so just hold on, it won't last too long. But you have to do it because you're at the party. At the end, we clap, we bounce around when more drinking and ceilidhing commences. And I've organised for Ian Sinclair to come and sing us Tak a Dram with his ceilidh band to just give Mark here a wee bit of a rest. Now, we've got to go visiting our pals. Have you all got your bit of coal, your bottle and your plastic bag? Well, most of us crafters have a handmade bag, but I kind of like the old plastic one, you know, the thick plastic one. It lasts longer. And when you're drinking about Keithness cold and grey land, button up now and be cheery, we've got a lot of the collective to go around. We'll go to Rachel's first, I think. Stick the tall, dark, handsome stranger at the front. David Reedy. Ugh, I don't think he listens to me, but I've already mentioned Sarge, and I think Coggy might get a bit narked if we used him again. He can lead the way. Hand over your coal as we go in. Gary, that'll keep you warm for a while. We have our dram there, and we have a blether, and then we head down to Caroline's, taking Rachel and Gary with us. As we head back up, everybody look up. I've arranged a special Northern Lights show for you. Get your Lyra hat on and cuddle up the polar bears. And then we'll come back up to Sarah's because it's about 6 o'clock now and our bairns will be getting up. We can act all sober now. Yep, Susan Dolph, you can go in first after David Reedy. She's not going to let us down. Sarah will let us in. We're really sober, honest. Then we'll end at Jenny's, who's still up from the night before and making pancakes and thick tatty soup for us all. Now, if your feet are nae sore, your throat is nae hoarse, and you are nae merry, and tired beyond merriment, I have not done my job as hostess to the annual Keithness Craft Collective Hogmanay party. But if they are, excellent. We'll away into Sandy's dream house, which is at least 100 rooms. I may need a few more tonight, Sandy. And we'll sleep a few hours before starting all over again with the drams. While the rest of the world goes back to work on the 2nd, we have it off as a holiday on account of the drinking and the partying long into the night. But you know what this means, don't you, ladies? A whole nother day of crafting and talking about craft with people that are just as obsessed with it as I am. Thank you for being with me this year. Let's charge our glasses to the next. What do you say? It's over? Already? Now, if you need a pee stop, time for the dizzy laugh. Just a very quick
hello
to my new group members, Lork1226, Travers Mum, Janet Clare, Kvitz Vart, BlueNCNXN. Thank you for joining. I love the messages and I love your projects because I'm nosy and have a look. And please everybody carry on putting up their projects onto the project page. When you put your projects onto Ravelry, click my group so I can have a know, see what you're up to. Thank you to lots of you for gifting me some patterns. I wasn't hinting for you to buy me them. I did actually mean buy your mum or your friends, but it was very, very kind and I thank you very much. Plus it means I'll be able to talk about them, so that was well thought of. Greedy Louise was delighted. Look at her up on my shoulder with a big fat boog. Tell you what, that's coming off next year, that's for sure. And next episode, I am definitely going to review the art yarn, as I have been using it, but I'm not finished with it yet, by Luca.yarn. Now, that was the blather, and all the rest of the sections rolled into one. Now we have the drams. And now for the drams.
We're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
And of course, as this is the Hogmanay episode, we are going to review the 2012 Whiskey of the Year, kind of. It's from the same family, as in the same distillery, but it's not actually the... Is it 21-year-old?
15.
So it's 21.
Is it 21? I don't know. Well, it's only the 12-year-old, so it's the baby brother.
Yes. I'm sure it's the 21. We're not going to review the 21-year-old, we're going to do the baby brother. We're going to do Old Pulteney 12-year-old single malt.
That's all we can afford.
Because I believe it's going about £80 now, and they've had to stop because they've been inundated with too many people asking for it, so it's good. Right, so we start as ever with the box. Now this is a cylindrically oval tube and it's a bonny whitish colour and at the bottom it's got a trawler and at the bottom it says the maritime malt and it's got blue shiny writing at the top and at the back it's got the writing and inside it has a map of the Highlands that shows you where the distillery is.
Oh, I never knew it.
Did you know? Oh, I like that bit.
I never get that far.
Well, you see I use my pots for keeping wool in and knitting needles and stuff. So I look inside. Now, it says about the Pulteney Distillery lies on the rugged northern coast of Scotland and is the most northerly distillery on the mainland. Established in the port of Wick in 1826, this fine single malt is steeped in seafaring history. Back then, the windswept distillery was only accessible by sea. And as one of the busiest herring ports in the world, many of the distillery workers were also hardy fishermen. Today, Old Pulteney Highland Single Malt Scotch Whisky is created using the same traditional methods of the 1800s. The copper wash, still, in particular, is a source of fascination to visitors due to the absence of a swan neck. Legend has it that when the still was delivered, it was too tall for the still house, and the manager simply decided to cut the top off. The shape, known as a smuggler's kettle, contributes to the distinctive style of whisky. It has also influenced the unique shape of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't actually describe it.
It's a fine shape.
We'll take a photo of it. How would you describe that bottle?
I would say it's kind of like bottle-shaped, with fluted bits at the top. Kind of reminds me, actually, like the genie's lamp.
Ooh.
In Aladdin.
Yeah.
In fact, I often rub it and make a wish.
That's if we have one in the house. Old Pulteney's 12-year-old has matured in hand-selected American eggs, bourbon casks. Over the years, the casks gently absorb the northern sea breeze, giving the whiskey its smooth sea breeze. More like sea hurricane.
Seaweed.
Seaweed. complex flavours and coastal characteristics. Yes, it's very hardy. It is little wonder that the Old Pulteney is known as the Maritime Malt. And I noticed recently that they had changed their packaging. Because in Tesco's it had the old ones and then it had the new ones beside it. And the reason is because they've got a quote here from Jim Murray, the whisky writer, who gave the 2012 Whisky Prize to Old Pulteney, 21-year-old. Pretty sure it's 21-year-old. And it says, unashamedly excellent and deserves so much more recognition around the world. So this is why I am unashamedly plugging it
here.
To the hilt. And a wee plug it says at the bottom, www.oldpulteney.com. And please drink sensibly. It says, Old Pulteney encourage you to savour this fine single malt responsibly. Same goes for us. And it's 40% volume. And it costs how much?
It was £20, but that's on a special.
Aye. Like I say, we get them when they're good prices, but we kind of went out where we to find a good price for it this time. So, not only do we have Old Pulteney Single Malt 12-year-old, we are also tonight doing Old Pulteney Scotch Whisky Liqueur. So Richard will tell you more about that in a bit. But because it's the Hogmanay special. So, I'll give you hand you over to Richard after I have opened it.
Right, we're ready now.
Yeah. Nice glugging.
It makes a nice glug.
I like the glug.
It's a special glug. Oh, that's a fine glug.
Here, put the top back on.
There we go. You don't want it evaporating.
Right, that's the drop of water going in.
Now, the tasting notes.
Were we not supposed to sniff it without the water in it first?
I sniffed it when you opened it.
Oh, okay.
Appearance. A deep amber, red-golden with a slight pink hue. Now, can you see red-golden, slightly pink hues?
Well, when I hold it up in front of the Christmas advent calendar, yes.
Mm. Sparkling with a copper glow.
Yes,
definitely copper.
Definitely copper. It's a very coppery copper.
The aroma, smell it. Oh, a medium to high intensity and complexity, dry with a hint of the sea air.
Now, that might be
because we live beside the harbour.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yes, I'm getting creels and fishing boat diesel.
And a lobster.
And stinky lobsters.
That's all my jacket and clothes because I'm just coming in from the boat.
The outsides and outsides.
Especially diesel, because I've been rolling about in diesel for 3 days.
Okay, carry on.
Tasting notes. A dry, medium-bodied and smooth, redolent of honey and cream. Faintly salty with a slightly spicy note and sweet, long-tasting finish.
Hold on a minute.
Now, there's a mouthful. You can read that again.
Now, I would like to think that whichever wicker it is that put redolent in is posh.
They're not from Wick.
No, I don't think so.
No, but we can't drink it yet.
Right, why not?
Because I've just come back from my 3-day trip.
Oh.
I get to have my half and a half.
Uh-huh. What's a half and half?
A half and a half makes a whole.
Explain, please.
When you have a fine ale to go with your whisky, and you have one is a half, the ale is a half, and the whisky's a half, and the two make a whole. So hold on a second. I here have a Duchers IPA, India Pale Ale. Distinctively radiant, deliciously refreshing. Duchers IPA is a golden beer brewed in the Caledonians, unique direct-fired coppers in our Victorian brew house in Edinburgh. The finest malted barley and whole flowered Styrian Goldings, Fuggles and Willamette hops create its fresh citrus taste and delicate floral finish Dukers has won over 40 awards, including the Supreme Camera Champion Beer of Britain and World Champion Cask Ale. There we go. So it's almost like whiskey, but not.
I don't think it's anything like whiskey, really.
Let's all
have a good gluggy noise, too.
Right, listen to this. Oh. Now, what colour are you seeing in there? What colour is that? Oh, look at that. Is that not a thing of beauty?
It's got an awful big head on it.
Now, dear. Just because I can't pour a pint. Cheers.
Oh, stands. I'm not having any of this, I don't like it.
Oh, that's just fantastic. Right, now, I've refreshed the palate. Well, Sanjivat.
Remember this week.
Oh.
That was the first taste, because you had to have three, didn't you?
Yes, three.
Now,
the first one's the swill, the second one's the savour, and the third one's the swallow.
I'm thinking whiskey. I'm not getting any better at this.
It's very mild. There's no burny at all. It's very mild.
It's not. I don't like peat. I'm not getting peat.
It's not specifically peaty. It's kind of a little bit smoky, a little bit oaky, I would say. And it just flows down the throat and in the neck. I could drink that. To drink it like water.
I've seen you.
Very nice.
I obviously have to like it because it was made in Wick.
I just like it because it's nice, amongst others. But it certainly deserves winning the 2012 Malt of the Year.
Absolutely. Plug. Mm. Now, one of the listeners asked about a perfect hot toddy, because we mentioned it before, and I forgot to say it last episode. So, can you explain the ins and outs of a perfect hot toddy? And yes, we already know about the naked hot toddy.
Naked hot toddy?
The one that has got nothing in it.
The diet hot toddy.
Oh, sorry, the diet hot toddy. Right.
Naked hot toddy.
Would you like that better?
No, you can drink it naked. That would be a naked hot toddy. But a diet hot toddy.
Are you watching? I've got an iTunes rating as clean here, so watch what you're saying.
I know. There's nothing wrong with drinking a toddy naked.
No, I hope you have no children present. I'll have to put a warning out before this.
Right, hot toddy. When you're dying of a cold, or you've got a sore throat and a chest and a cough and snotty nose and a beak and all the rest of it, you get the boiler kettle and you do it kind of in equal measures. You get your cooking whiskey, which is non-malt, mostly, and you get
Why are you saying cooking whiskey?
Because you wouldn't waste a good malt in that. Because it makes no difference, really, about the whiskey.
But to me, that doesn't really get much taste out of different whiskies. It's just the burniness.
I know, that's why you go for a cooking whiskey.
Oh, excuse me, I've had some rather nice whiskies with a bowl more, because that's all you had in the house. Nearly killed him.
You have your whisky, your boiling water out the kettle, a big dollop of honey, and a teaspoon of sugar, and you mix it all up in it, so it's all dissolved and melted. And you sit there with your hot toddy, and it coats your throat, it anaesthetises all your sore bits, and it makes you all drowsy, and you go to bed, and you have a nice good night's sleep. Or you can, if you're worried about the calories, you have a diet hot toddy, where you get your boiling water and your honey and your teaspoon of sugar, and you leave them in a jar, and you just have the whiskey on its own.
I wonder how many calories is in a normal whiskey, because
not many.
I don't think there must be many.
No, they're not many.
Well, we had to kind of pause there and actually finish the dram, because we need the glass for the next one. Yeah, heck. And the next one is Old Pulteney Liqueur, and it's made, obviously, by Old Pulteney. It has the box itself. It's not as interesting as the proper Scotch malt. It's a square black box, but it's got a bonny Celtic shiny symbol on it with the Old Pulteney liqueur up at the top in gold and kind of Celtic writing as well. And oddly enough, it is not the same font as the single malt. So the marketing obviously needs to catch up, I think.
I noticed the bottles are very similar. It's like a skinny version.
It is, yes, it is. Now, I've not tried this yet, and I prefer a sweeter drink, so I'm quite looking forward to this. I'm going to ask what the cost was.
I haven't got a clue.
It was a gift.
From
a lovely graduate, Stephen. Right, hold on. And I'll read what it says on the box. Old Pulteney Liqueur is a marriage of the finest natural ingredients blended with Old Pulteney Single Malt Old Pulteney Single Malt Scotch Whiskey and some lighter whiskies. You mean there's something else in this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think I could possibly like it this much. Anyway, to create a truly memorable Scotch whiskey liqueur. It is smooth, sweet and sensuous. Old Pulteney Liqueur is guaranteed to appeal to the most discerning drinker. Served neat or over ice, Old Pulteney Liqueur leaves a pleasantly warm, comforting afterglow. And this is at 28% volume of alcohol. And it's the same www.oldpulteney.com. Please enjoy Old Pulteney Liqueur responsibly. Okay.
So you've got 12% more chance of being more responsible than if you were drinking Old Pulteney, because it's 40%.
Yeah. Well, I'll give... Can I open it?
Okay.
We have a screw top here.
It's appearance is burnt amber. I would go with that.
Oh, definitely burnt amber, because it's quite a dark aroma.
It's beguiling whiskey aroma, notes of toffee. Definitely toffee.
Are you not supposed to pour it into the glass first?
Okay. Not out the neck?
No.
Okay.
Not out the neck.
The ice hasn't frozen yet. The ice is in production.
Okay, so we're just pretending we have ice.
We're out of ice.
Obviously, you would be more prepared because you've listened to this in advance.
Okay. Now, aroma. It's very I get toffee.
Toffee. Yeah. I even get toffee. I'm excited about
it. And peel.
Toffee.
I don't know what peel means. Fruit. Prunes. Prunes, yeah, I get prunes. Yeah, I'm getting prunes. But a hint of sherry in the background. I'm not sure about the sherry in the background.
Well, it's just sweet to me.
I'm getting the prunes and I'm getting the toffee.
Prunes, I'm not sure about the prunes.
I'm not getting the whiskey either. But anyway.
It's got a pruny kind of colour.
Taste is pleasantly sweet with a rich fruity aftertaste and a warm lingering finish.
Okay.
Well, let's put that to the test. Right. Cheers.
Slange.
Slange for that. Like that.
Yes, that's going up my nose now.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's a little too sweet for my liking. I'd like it cooler with an ice cube.
Yeah, because it would water it down a little bit.
But it's nice. It's like an after dinner.
Yes.
After dinner
hence
liqueur.
It's a liqueur.
Oh, yeah, very true. Very true.
Yes.
I think we might have to pause this again. She's liking this one. I think you'll be snoring tonight, dear.
Oh, I think so. That's kind of burny at the back of the tongue as well. I'm trying to give you more interesting descriptions of it, but do you know what?
Very sweet and honeyish.
Yeah.
It's got almost like a cold toddy.
A cold toddy. Yeah. If you've got a sore throat, this is going to do the do for you. Mm. Oh, I'd recommend that. Where have you been all my life, Old Pulteney? So I
2 miles across the river.
You know, they actually only started making that quite recently.
Oh, right, okay.
I remember when they launched it with Prince Charles. Two recommendations, and a third, actually. Duker's IPA, Old Pulteney Liqueur, Old Pulteney Single Malt, and we've gone for the 12-year-old, other ages are available. And we're going to leave you with CN.
Blaena Va U.
Blaena Va U. Just happened here to you and yours.
Oichiva.
Oichiva.
The blah 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 season.
Blah 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 bit. That's me. Thank you very much for listening this year. I hope you are all in good health and, if not, good fettle. You can download me from Podbean and iTunes. All reviews are gratefully received and very welcome. You can email me on caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt. You can join the Caithness Craft Collective group there. I'm also on Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers for the embroidery chat. And Twitter, Caithness Craft, that's me. The music is Auld Lang Syne by Rockasaurus Rex from musicalley.com, where you can go and buy it. I thought it was rocky and bouncy. So thank you so much for listening. All the best from 2012. Lang may your lum reek, and keep on crafting. Sure.